I really did. It kept me back. Maybe that's why Jill and I had to wait so long before the Lord could bring us into ministry like this. It's not going to explode, is it? Sure, I'm grateful for that. I struggled with it for a long time. There's areas in my life that nobody knows about, but God knows. And I remember, and I believe it was my repentance, but I remember being lying on the ground before the Lord, crawling on the ground before the Lord, because of the weight of my sin. Until I realized that I'm forgiven. Remember I preached a while ago, I'm forgiven. We're forgiven. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm forgiven. And that's the reality. Jesus, if you go and read in the Bible, in Hebrews it says, Jesus paid once for all of our sin. He paid it. He paid every sin that ever was committed, being committed, or will be committed. He's paid the price. And the enemy will try and keep us down on the ground, buried under the weight of our sin. What's happening here? Don't worry about it. The enemy will try and keep us buried. You need to focus on me, not on that thing. The enemy will try and keep us buried under the weight of our sin. And you know, until we come up out of it by the grace of God, only by His grace, we will never be effective as believers. And I realized as I was praying with Monet tonight, that acceptance of His grace is where faith comes in. We've got to have faith that we've been forgiven. We've got to take what the Word of God says and believe it. And then we'll be able to go forward. And when we struggle with that, it's actually a struggle with faith. Because it's there, it's in the Word. It's done. Amen. Don't let the enemy hold you. Josh, I want to tell you tonight. Don't let the enemy hold you back. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with. But the enemy will try and keep you down there. And there's a call on your life. And if you let him keep you down there, you'll never fully achieve it. And you've achieved the lottery. But there's so much more. Amen. Don't let him keep you there. Am I in line? Right. I don't have to. So this is very exciting. It's my first message as Pastor Keith. Well, I've been Pastor Keith for a while, but you know what I mean. It's a blessing and an awesome privilege to stand here. I can't tell you how blessed we are. But we are blessed. And I won't carry on about that. But I felt this is such an important service. It's my first message as the ordained pastor and inaugurated pastor of the church. And I would like to... You know, the title's always been senior pastor, but I'm not so into titles, okay? I'd like to be known as the lead pastor. I've been called to lead this church. I've been called into a position, senior, the CEO. You know what I'm talking about? I've been called as a shepherd to lead. But as the lead pastor, I feel that it's important that I immediately point us in the direction that God, I believe, is setting us to go in. The Bible is a living word. It was written a long time ago, but it's powerful and relevant for today. And just on Friday morning, I was reading about David, who had just been crowned the king of all Israel. He had a mighty task to fulfill. You see, Israel had come through the period of Moses and Joshua, and they took the promised land, and then they went through the time of the judges, and because they didn't finish the job when they took the promised land, they continually had hassles and kept falling into sin, and then the Philistines and the Amorites and this one and that one and the next one came and caused chaos, and therefore God had to raise up judges. But it was a continual thing because they didn't finish the job. And David had just been crowned the king of all Israel. And Israel wasn't just Judah and Israel, it was Israel. And he had a mighty job to do, to lead Israel into victory. And under David's leadership, they finally overcame all of those nations that they initially didn't conquer. They conquered them under David's leadership. These were the foreign nations that God initially gave the Israelites to conquer when they took the land under Joshua. But they were a thorn in the side, a thorn in the flesh, because they weren't dealt with. There were battles to be fought, and there was land to be taken. And we have our work laid out for us too. I'm not saying I have my work laid out for me. We, as a church, have our work laid out for us. I know I'm responsible as the lead pastor. But we together have to take the land. David couldn't have gone on his own and taken the land. He had a band, and I'm not saying that's you, of ragamuffins. Okay? 400 and then 600. The outcasts of Israel. They were his men. But when all Israel came together, that army grew to 3,000. And they became a mighty, powerful army of God. But they had work to do. They had to go and take the land. But even with the ragamuffins, though, let's say we're the ragamuffins. God gave David victory after victory. He was never defeated. Even before he became king of Israel, he was never defeated. But why? Because David always spoke to God and said, God, shall I do this? Should I attack them? What should I? And God would say, go around that way. Wait for them there. God directed them. And I trust that God will lead and guide them. And if there's one thing you can pray for me for, is that God will lead me. David spoke about David in the Ngwani. Spoke about it this morning. He said, we need wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for power. He didn't ask for any. He asked for wisdom. And that's what we need. And ask that the Lord will lead me and that I will hear and obey. Because Saul didn't obey. And it led to all sorts of hassles. And I've been in that. And I believe the Lord's been dealing with me about that for a while. And the last thing I want to do is lead us down the wrong path. Because we'll close our doors. And what we want to do is we want to have a space problem in this church. Amen? If we conquer the land. I'm speaking slowly, but we'll get there. So we've got our work laid out for us. We've been given a very clear directive from God. And you're going to hear this over and over, and you've been hearing, maybe you're tired of it already. But God said, I have a people in the city. It's a clear directive. God has given us an instruction. And if there's one thing I know is we need to be obedient to God's instruction. He's given us a people, but we need to reach that people. It's already been given to us. In other words, it's going to come. It's God has given us, but we need to go and get them. Amen. But we've got a job. We've got a big job. There's a battle that we need to fight and to win. And there's a city that needs to be taken. And therefore, my message tonight, turn with me in your Bible to 2 Samuel 5. And please don't in any way, and I don't even think I need to say that, but I'm saying it in case any of you are thinking of this. Don't in any way think that I'm comparing Pastor Pat to Saul, okay? Because I'm not. We were stood next to Pastor Pat in what we've done to date, all right? What I'm saying is we haven't completed the job. We've got to complete the job. Amen. So I'm not making that comparison whatsoever. He's been a great and a wonderful pastor to us. 2 Samuel 5 verse 1 to 5. And I've got my New Living Translation version here. Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, we are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, you will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader. So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years in all. He had reigned over Judah from Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. And from Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. Wow. That was quite a long time as king. And what I see here is some amazing parallels with what's happening in our church, what's happening in Shiloh in my life, and what's happening for the church. The first one is it speaks of David being anointed as king of Israel. He had already been leading Judah for 7 years and 6 months. And what does Judah mean? Judah comes from the word, or to interpret means praise. If I look at my own life, I've been in the church, I've been the associate, but I've been the leader of praise. King David was the leader of Judah. I've been the leader of praise. So I see a parallel there in my own life. And it was a wonderful confirmation to me. Importantly, when the tribes of Israel came to David, they told him, "We are your own flesh and blood." This to me speaks of family. I believe that as a church we are like this. We've become like a family. Many of us have been here for a long time. Not everybody, but many of us. And when we come, we've stayed here because we feel that we belong here. We've found home here. Do you find this as home? Do you believe that? Is that why you've stayed? Even when you've seen things not really going all that great and empty. But we feel that this is where we belong. We feel this is our home. This is our family. Amen. We are your own flesh and blood. And that is, and I don't know what people have said behind Shane, my back, but I trust it's been, whatever we've heard is positive. People have said, we are here with you. We are for you. We are going to do this thing together. It's because we are flesh and blood. We are family. And I believe that. And it must be one of our goals as a church to continue being a family in Christ. Are you in agreement with that? Amen. Do you think that's a good goal? This is key to our unity. If we are to remain united as a church, we need to be a family. And it's also key to a good transition into a new season that God has brought us into. All we're saying is, Pastor Pat and Yvonne has moved to a retirement village, but the rest of us have stayed at home. Amen? The family is still intact. The family hasn't fallen apart. Yes, there are sometimes spats in families. Yes, sometimes people get fed up with each other in a family. But they remain family. When the wheels fall off, any good family rallies around with those that are in trouble. Can I hear an amen? Now, I know that's not always the case in our families, but that's the way a good family should be. Because I always say, blood is thicker than water. In other words, blood is thicker than friendship. And I always say, marriage is thicker than blood. Okay? So don't try and come in between a wife and a husband. But that was just for extra. We can take this opportunity to bring things together. Where many in the church have been doing many great things. And you know, as Shirley and I've started visiting and we've been in contact with people and we've been speaking with people in the church. The one thing that has been astounding. So I was going to ask you to just go and switch off that monitor there at the panel. The one thing that has been quite astounding is to find out what people are doing. And there's different people in the church that have been doing remarkable things. And what I believe we can do is we can bring it all together in one coordinated effort. And when we do that, we'll realize that there's life in the church. We'll realize that we're not a church that is stagnant and doing nothing. And I think we'll build some momentum. And where people have been struggling and along doing things on their own, they're going to find support. They're going to find a support base. And you know, there's unity in number. There's strength in numbers. Two cords are strong and three cords are not easily broken. So I believe as we do this as a family and we consolidate and we start bringing everything together, because the problem is we've been a bit of a shotgun. Everything we're doing, somebody's doing a little bit here, somebody's doing a little bit there. But if we consolidate our efforts, I believe that as a church, we'll become very effective. Now, I don't know how we're going to do that yet. But I believe if we start functioning as a family, we'll be able to pull that together and we'll become quite effective in the ministry and in reaching people. I just look at people like Phyllis. We went to visit Nick and Phyllis. And this place where Nick is, there's other people also that have Alzheimer's and dementia and mental damage and all sorts of stuff. And she walks in there and she greets those people and the love of Christ just shines out of her. And to me, it's Our family is shining. One of our family members is shining. But if we can all learn to be like that, or if we can get a group of people that are doing that, can you imagine the impact we can have? Then I know that Ryan is busy with all sorts of things. He's running all sorts of different ministries. Reaching out, touching lives. If we can consolidate what we're doing there, How much more can we do as a church? How much more effective can we be? And then there's visitation of people that are sick, or cell ministries. I think the cells are working. But what can we do there? If we work as a family, how much more can we achieve? And you know, it's all being done, but we need to bring it together. And I think it's going to encourage us when we see how much it's going to spur us on to more. There's a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, and we will follow. Right. Does that make sense to you? I don't want to come airy-fairy and build some big clouds that are going to disappear when the sun comes out. When we work together, we will produce fruit and great harvest. And this morning, Cheryl and I, the other parallel I saw is, this morning Cheryl and I were ordained. You know, David made a covenant before God. When we stood before you, we also made a covenant before God. We said we will be good and faithful shepherds. And the leadership of our leadership team stood around us. We did it together. And we made a promise to God that we would lead Christian Heritage as a congregation. So we see some parallels in the scripture. But that has now all been done. We've said farewell to Pastor Pat and Yvonne. We've had the ordination service. But it's time now for us to focus on going forward. Now we've got to move on. Now the rubber's going to hit the road, and we need to start moving and do what we've been called to do. So what next? What next? If you go in that same scripture we read, 2 Samuel 5 verse 6, the first bit. David then led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. Remember I said we need to complete the work. Work has been started, but some of the original inhabitants are still in the land. And they are a thorn in our flesh. God has promised us as a church that the latter glory of this church will be greater than the former. But this will never happen if we sit on our hands. This will never happen if we retire to our paneled houses and say, well, let's sit back and see what Keith and Cheryl are going to do. We can't do that. Amen. David led his men to war. So we've been called to lead our people into... I don't know if you like that thought. We're going to go into a spiritual battle. We're going to war. Because the enemy doesn't want us to be blessed. God has promised this. And we need to put on our battle armor. We need to put on the armor of God. And we need to say, we are reporting. We're going to come and stand together in this troop. So that we can march forward and take our promised land. What we need to do is to identify and deal with those things that have been opposing. You know, one of the things I've never understood, and we saw it again this morning, the church was lovely and full. There was a lot of people here. But the presence of the Lord was here. Things that, in my mind, maybe I'm self-judging, but in my mind I could see nothing wrong with our service this morning. To have prevented us from being full and lively and people all over the place. Maybe there's some blind spots that we've got to deal with, but I sometimes think there's things that are a block, things that are in the way of us moving forward. And this is one of the things we need to deal with. The demonic forces that have not been dealt with, that have been holding us back. We need to possess the land properly. And I've listed some of them down, and I'm going to ask as I preach that maybe you think about it, and I've got four or five here. And then I want you to put up your hand and say what you think is a block. Because maybe the Lord will talk to us right here and right now. Number one is a spirit of lethargy and complacency. I believe there's a bit of a spirit of lethargy that's crept in and a spirit of complacency. People don't realize that we're in a battle. People don't realize that we need to fight this fight. People are too happy to sit back and say, somebody else said, I don't have to go to... You know what, I'll go to church next week. I don't feel like it this morning. Or, I'm not interested in being part of the cells. You know, give me a break. I'll do my own thing in the week. They don't realize the spiritual significance of that kind of attitude. It's a complacent attitude. We're living in a time when we can't afford to be complacent. Does that make sense? We can't afford to be complacent. So I believe it's a spirit, and we need to break that thing. There's a spirit of poverty. And I praise the Lord that God has blessed our church financially. Amen? But I see it in the congregation and in people's life, a spirit of poverty. Krugersdorp has been historically a poor town. But it wasn't always that way. It was a gold town. This was a town where gold came up out of the ground and great wealth came. And that's physical wealth. carnal wealth, if you want to put it that way. And we need money. It's not money that's the root of all evil, remember? It's the love of money that's the root of evil. So we need the Lord to break that spirit of financial lack. In fact, one of the goals that I have for the church, and one of the characteristics, one of the things that must be part of our culture is generosity. We need to break this thing. I can't afford it. We can't afford it. No, we've got to break the thing. Amen. Does that make sense? And you start to identify. Tolerance of enemy strongholds. Tolerance of sin. Satanism, ley lines, cult churches, stuff like that. You know, it's all around us. What have we been doing late? I know in the early days when we were in the church, we used to stand against these things. We used to do prayer walks. We used to go and stand at the gates to the city and pray. And some of you were part of that. Amen? But we haven't done it for a long time. We need to take our city. Lack of growth. Lack of new families. Why? What's stopping the people from coming in? You know, the last four people, I know Yin Cheng was one of them, but the last four people that we brought in to the church, into membership, lived just down the road here, a block away from the church. Why are the rest of the people that live right here not coming in? There's a block. And we need to identify these things. These is the enemy creating a block, and we need to possess the land. We need to get rid of these Jebusites that are in the land. Amen. So we've got some work to do, church. And then I wrote it. I can't believe I wrote it, but a spirit of fear. People are afraid. People are afraid to look at it. And I'm blessed because I believe our evening service has grown. It was less than this, okay, but we're growing. But there's a spirit of fear. We can't go out at night. We're afraid to go home in the dark. Yes, we don't live in a safe country. But I can tell you that God is with us. And He will protect us. And should something happen to us, we're born again. And we will go to heaven. Amen. So there's no need for us to be in fear. Now, who can think of some other spirits? And I just want maybe one or two or three people to say, really, what do you think is blockage? Or that you've identified as a block to our progress. Anybody got any ideas? Sure, I'll put you on the spot, Trevor. Yeah, a fear of change. Yeah, fear of change. Doubt, yeah? And linked to that faith. With doubt, anything else? Yeah, lack of support. Yeah. And because people don't want to, it's what I was saying, complacency. People don't want to get involved. And yet there's a fulfillment. There's a sense of fulfillment. When we do stuff in the kingdom, it gives us fulfillment. Amen. So I'm going to encourage us to get involved. Yeah, I know I'm preaching to the converted, but I had to start somewhere. It's going to require a new level of commitment from all of us, from me particularly. We will need to, and I repeated this deliberately, pray, 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 pray. And then we'll need to work, 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 work. And then we'll need to sacrifice, 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 and spend a lot of time with God. And then we will start to see things change. Amen. And then we need to deal with negative words. We need to deal with negative words. Continuing in that same scripture, again, 2 Samuel 5, verse 6b. 3-10. The Jebusites taunted David, saying, "You'll never get in here. Even the blind and the lame could keep you out." For the Jebusites thought they were safe. You see, the enemy loves to taunt us and say, and make us think that we'll never succeed. What are the lies we've been told? You'll never get in here. Even lame and blind will protect. The lies we've been told. We're in the wrong place, side of town. The people are moving to churches outside of town. People have spoken Ichabod over the church. In other words, God's blessing is gone. God's presence is gone. Rubbish. It's a lie. There's lots of lies we've been told. I've wrote some more here. People won't come at night because they don't feel safe. You'll never succeed here. Let me tell you, that is one of the things the enemy attacked me with, is... You know, the last two Sunday mornings, before last week, the two before that, the attendance was bad. And I stood down and said, "Sure, Keith, what have you let yourself in for?" It's a lie of the devil. And we mustn't believe the devil's lies. Because what you see, what the Jebusites forgot, and what David knew, was that God was with him. And God is with us. Immediately after, the very next verse, it says, but David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now called the city of David. David took the city. We can take Krugersdorp. We can bless this church and see this church alive and on fire and full of souls. And it's, you know, people say, oh, but don't worry so much about numbers. Why is there a book called Numbers in the Bible? Numbers are important to God. Interesting, isn't it? Now, that just messed with your theology, didn't it? Right. We need to capture the fortress. 2 Samuel, I'm repeating some of these scriptures. 2 Samuel 5, verse 7 to 8. But David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now called the city of David. On the day of the attack, listen to this, David said to his troops, I hate those lame and blind Jebusites. The ones that said even the lame and blind could protect this place. He said, I hate those lame and blind Jebusites. Whoever attacks them should strike by going into the city through the water tunnel. You see, they had a big fat hole in their defenses. It was a fortress, but there was a water tunnel, and they went straight through there. And God showed David exactly where to go. Whoever attacks him should just go in through there. They blame and blind these stupid people. You know what? Goliath did it. Goliath said, who is this puny wimp that you're sending against me? And David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, the living God. He came with a sling. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But Goliath taunted him. And David said, I don't care. I know who goes before me. We sing it. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies. He is on my side. He is on our side, church. And it doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what the nays say. Doesn't matter what we have said or what we have believed. There's a hole this big in the enemy's defenses. And we're going to go right through it and we're going to plunder the enemy camp because you know who's really complacent? The enemy. Because he's not expecting it. And we've got to hit him when it hurts. And when he's least expecting it. That means we need to move now. We need to mobilize ourselves now. Because he says, ach, look at them. They're under control. We don't have to worry about them. What happens when we cause a fire that goes right through this country, should I say, and the city, and it comes on fire for Jesus? And every church is full because people are just flocking to Jesus. We can start that. God's got a plan for us. I must tell you, it was David captured the fortress. It was a fortress. It was a place where people thought they were safe. It's not easy to get in. The Jebusites were complacent, but it meant that David could go in safely and defeat them. But with God, there's always a way. David took the enemy's fortress. Didn't matter what the enemy thought. And the city was given his name. Our name is written on the city, Christian Heritage. I believe that's from God. Our name is written on the city. David took the city. David took Zion. We can take Mochali, Krugersdorp. Our name is written on it. Because we are the children of the living God. And I want to tell you something else. When David took the fortress became David's. And he was safe. He was surrounded by those protective walls. As we take the city, God will keep us safe. We will bring ourselves into a place of his divine protection. God is precious, and I want to speak to each of our lives tonight, not just to the church. God has precious possessions for your life and for my life. He has cities with our names in it. Today it's time to stop listening to the lies in all of our lives of the enemy. If you've been struggling, you haven't been going forward in Christ and in your own life, it's time to possess that city. Don't listen to the enemy's lies anymore. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You weren't cool. How can I do that? I don't know the word well enough. I don't have enough money. I'll never get that job. I'll never live in that area. Rubbish. God has got a city for you and for me tonight. And we need to take God by his word. God will strike the enemy with blindness and lameness and make it possible for us to take the city. And then I want to tell you, if I carry on reading, 2 Samuel 5 verse 9 to 11. So David made the fortress his home and he called it the city of David. He extended the city, starting at the supporting terraces and working inwards. And David became more and more powerful because of the Lord, God of heaven's armies was with him. You see, God is with us. If we go in our own strength, we will be defeated. If we go in God's strength, nobody can stand against us. David made the city his own. This is our home, church. I live in Rutherford. Did you know that? Doesn't matter. This is our home. We claim the city. Our home. It's time we take back what's ours. It's a place of safety for us. It's our fortress. He extended the city. Once we've taken the city, it will be time for growth. Pastor Pat has been praying the prayer of Jabez over the last month, that God will extend our territory. Let's walk in that. Let's accept it and receive it and go forward in it. Our church will grow in power and authority just like David did. Not because of how good we are, but because of we have God with us. It's not because of who we are, but because of who our God is. This city is our home. Why would we be willing to let the enemy rule here? Can I ask you a question? Why would we be willing to let the enemy rule here? It's time to take our home back. And then I want to just tell you a little bit about Mochali city. Okay? I felt as I was preparing, going to have a look at what the word Mochali means. Mochali was named after a chief that ruled in this area. This was his chiefdom. I think it was in the 1700s sometime. It was the Botswana people. And it was the seat of the kingdom, yeah, in Mochali. Mochali means the brave one. And Chief Mochali is believed to have ruled over a kingdom of miners and traders of gold. That talks about wealth. Remember I said it's known as a poor city, but this city was once a wealthy place, even before the gold rush. It was a kingdom of miners and traders of gold who had an influence, in far-reaching markets. Their cross-border trade was said to extend as far north as Egypt. Think about that. Think about these rural, black nation, fairly primitive. Their mining methods must have been primitive. And yet, they had a wealthy kingdom. It mined gold out of the ground. And they had an influence even as far as Egypt. Think about that. That is phenomenal. And where can our influence reach to? God can bless us with treasure, spiritual treasure, and earthly treasure. We can have an influence, church, not just in Krugersdorp, not just in Mochali City, but throughout this territory, and even to the edges of the earth. I read a scripture a while ago, as I was preparing, Psalm 144, and it talks about God blessing Israel with crops, and with sheep, a cattle. Thousands and tens of thousands. And I believe that's for us. And it said that the oxen would bear heavy loads under the crops that they were harvesting. Who's the oxen? The people that work. The heavy load is not a weight of burden. It's the size of the crop that needs to be harvested. We've got great promises. And that is a big thing to ask. When I look around, this church can fit maybe 500-600 people in it if we're full there. Now the Lord has given us a word of thousands and tens of thousands. I know it's not tomorrow, but it's in my dream. It should be in our dream. Why not? Why not? Ask yourself, why not? And we can be part of it. We can be part of the dream. You can be part of the dream. I can be part of the dream. But it will be a dream established on God's Word, Psalm 144. Go and read it. I think I've got the right reference. God is calling us as Christian heritage to rule the city. We're to go out in His authority, not our own, in His authority. He's calling us to have far-reaching influence. I can tell you the daily encouragements that go out from here. They're having far-reaching influence. They're going out all over the world, not just South Africa. And people are passing. We don't even know where they're going. Somebody contacted us via the website this week. And it's a pastor living in Kenya. He's got a small church, 32 people. He said, thank you so much for the teachings you're putting on your website. They've been blessing me and helping me. It's been helping him as he ministers in his church. We're having influence we didn't even know about in Kenya. He said, can you send us more? Can you help? How did he get to our website? One way, God directed him. That's God's favor. We already have an influence beyond the borders of this country. And that gets, I'll send you and I'll get goosefish. Think about the influence you can have. Who are you talking to? Who are you working with? Who are you reaching? How far does it go? Who are they reaching because you reach them? Think about the potential that lays before us. But think of the name Michali, the brave one. We need to be the brave ones. God has called us to be the brave ones. And then we will do amazing things in His name. By His grace, we can have such a significant influence on our city that it will even return to economic prosperity. And this town needs prosperity. Trust me. It can influence far-reaching markets. You see, God blesses in the spiritual, but He also blesses in the natural. We can play a major role in changing the history of this area. I believe that God has called us, and that's me, and you're going to hear it from me, to be a multiracial church. We're an urban church where all races and all walks of life will come in. We may have prostitutes coming through the door. We may have drug addicts coming through the door. We've got Egyptians in the church. We've got Nigerians. We've got Zimbabweans. We've got South Africans. We've got Americans. I believe God is going to continue blessing this church in that way. And I just think we must lift our vision up. We need to lift our vision up. So as I wrap this up, I want to say this. God is the people in the city, and He's given us the city. We may not understand right now how He's going to do it. I don't. There may be people who say it can never be done. It may seem like a mighty, impenetrable fortress, but God has a plan for us to take it and to make it our home. Not only that, but as we rule and reign with Him, we can look forward to growth both inward and outward. Let us take a stand in this city of Michali, and let us honor the name of the city and be the brave ones as we take the city for Christ. And we have an influence to far-reaching nations and through our country and through this town. That is my very first message as the leader, as the lead pastor. I can't say I'm the leader because Jesus is. But as the lead pastor of this church. And I trust that it's been a bit, I know it was a bit long, I'm sorry. I trust it's inspirational to you. Amen. Who feels that we can do that? Show me your hands. I want to see he's not bad there. I really believe that's from the Lord for us, church. And I believe it was key that I shared a message like this tonight. Now, that was a lot to take in. It'll be on the website tomorrow. Go and read it. Pray about it. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, how can we do this? What is my role? Say, Lord, what is my role? Because we've got a role to play. Whether it's supporting Cheryl and I, whether it's getting our hands dirty, whether it's, I don't know, prison ministry, or, man, I went to that place, yeah, where the people sleep overnight. There's such huge opportunity for ministry for us. It's time we made a difference in our city. And as we start making a difference, we will see this place filling up for Jesus. Amen. Something simple. I drove in the gate here this tonight, and there was a couple sitting there. And I stopped and I said, hello, we'd like to invite you to the service tonight. They didn't come, but I invited them in any case. Let's be bold. Let's take chances. Let's see what God can do through us. I want to encourage you to do it. Be the brave one. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm not going to look. But if you feel like being the brave one tonight, and not just tonight, but going forward, just put your hand up. Our Lord, as we come to you tonight, we believe you've given us a word. We believe you've got a plan for us. We don't know exactly how we're going to do this, but we have a city to take. Lord, we've got to get rid of the Jebusites in this land. The things that have been plaguing us, the things that have been blockages and preventing us from growing. We need to deal with the things we haven't dealt with. We also need to walk forward as children, sons and daughters of promise, and claim the city for Jesus. We pray for your prosperity and your blessing. We pray that you will enable us by your Spirit to be the brave ones. To go out there and be bold and to take chances. Lord, we're not going to go and bury our talents in the sand. We're going to invest it in the city, in the surrounding towns and regions, throughout the country, throughout the world. And Father, we're going to ask you
to bless us with a great harvest. Let us be a people of influence. Let us be people that make a difference. Let us be a people that bring forth a harvest. Lord, I honestly, in my heart of hearts, believe when you say thousands and tens of thousands, that we need a building program. Because we choose not to doubt tonight. And so we commit ourselves, we commit our church into your hand. We commit our people to you. The people that are here, the people that aren't here. Will you grant us mighty hearts of brave warriors so we can go forth and take the city and take that which you have promised us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why I really want to encourage you as well. Please do come to the conference. Don't stay away. Come to every thing that you... Okay, men, don't go to the ladies' one. Ladies, don't go to the men. But otherwise, please come to every service on that weekend. Amen. Because this is the beginning. It's the beginning. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to ask Dave, if you wouldn't mind, to close and pray for us tonight. And then let's go and have something nice to drink. And if anybody wants prayer, you're welcome to come. And I will wait here for a while.
Gracious Father, you've challenged us tonight. And I pray tonight, Father, that from this day forth, it'll be about you.
Yes.
Not about us, not about individuals, but all about Jesus. And Father, it's for your kingdom to grow, that your kingdom will come. And as we wait for your coming, Father, might we be busy doing that which you've instructed us to do. So, Father, might we reach out in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.